Matthew chapter 15. I got a little story. You guys want to hear a little story? It's always good, even if it's not good, it's a story. I got the opportunity, was invited to go, while I was in General Conference, was invited to go to it was from the Ministerial of Jewish Relations. It was the Ministry of Jewish Relations is what it was. It was actually the Jewish government was paying for a dinner to pastors and leaders, and so I was one of them lucky ones who got to go. And it was kind of interesting because I told him, I said, yes, my wife and I will be going. I said, I also have four boys. They're like, sorry, boys can't come. The Jewish government is not going to pay for their food. Like, well, in that case, I guess I'm not coming. And the guy was so nice. His name is Brother Segal, or Brother Segal, I'm sorry. And he felt bad when he found out that, you know, they weren't going to let my boys come. You know, because it was the government paying for it. It wasn't the organization. The Jewish government had these rules and regulations. And they were paying, I think it was like a $38 a plate that they were paying for different ones, all paid for by the Jewish government, by the Israeli government, I should say. And so I said, well, is there any way, and that was before I knew the cost, and I'm glad he came up with another idea, because before I knew the cost, I said, well, can't I just pay for my boys? Had I known it was that cost, I would not have asked that question. But he said, here's the deal. He says, I don't mind. I really want them to be there. I want them to be there, but they're not allowed to eat with us. So if you just pick them up some food, and we'll set up a little table just outside so they can see everything and hear everything in the hall, the back part of the hall, and they can eat with it, and they can, you know, they can eat and watch the presentation and everything that was going on. And it's like, okay, we'll do that. Well, the meal went on and took place, and by the way, the lady from the nation of Israel was so moved during our thing, she just broke down and started crying. There is a connection that we have with the Jewish people because we're one God people. We just happen to know his name. And here's the part I want to get to. It really has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach. But so we're sitting at this table and eating, and the next thing you know, here comes this brother Segal. I keep wanting to call him Segal, but Segal, come around, and I had just made my cup of coffee. Of course, I made it the way I like it. Heavy cream, heavy sugar. He bends down and grabs my cup, picks it up, and takes a sip of my coffee. I was just like, did I just see you? And he goes, bleh, bleh, bleh. Well, that's what you get, getting into my coffee. But I was like, ah, I cannot believe that just happened. And I waited for him to walk away a little ways after he, you know, went around our table and talked to people. I waited for him to walk away, and I grabbed my napkin. I kind of wiped it off and turned my cup around. My wife said, I'll just drink it. And it hit me. You know what? I'm probably related to him anyway, so it just doesn't matter. So I shared a cup of coffee that day. Like I said, it had nothing to do with anything. It was just, it caught me so funny that here, the guy just drank my coffee. Don't any of you try that the next time you see me drinking a cup of coffee. Yeah, I just warn you, I put a lot of cream and sugar. You wouldn't like it. All right. Now that I've wrecked the service, let's Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. You know, every time I do get to hear a presentation about Israel, and every time I get to, you know, every time we've had a missionary here, something just stirs in my heart. I don't know. I have a burden for the nation of Israel. One day I'm going to find out what tribe I'm from. I asked my dad why he said, I don't know where to start. And I gave him some ideas. I hope he chooses. I hope he tries to find out where our relations are. Because I'd sure love to find out what tribe. I just hope I'm from either the tribe of Levi or the tribe of Judah. Those are the two tribes I'm hoping for. But hey. Anyway, let's get going. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 26. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now, I want you to understand, her speaking this did not mean that little Fido ran around like our little dogs do at our house. Dogs were not like dogs are today. I'm getting some of them. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I just want to talk to us for a little bit here tonight on this subject. Living dogs or dead lions? Living dogs or dead lions? Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us here today. God, I pray, Lord, that this would, Lord, be more than just a cute sermon. God, I just feel so compelled. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to convey it in a clear and the right way. God, that I could share it, Lord, like I feel it in my heart. And God, that through this, even one more time, Lord, that we can be challenged. God, that we can be encouraged. God, that you would help us, Lord, in our walk with you. God, you know the people, Lord, who you're sending our direction. God, you know the hearts and the lives of those who are hungry, who are desiring, Lord, for more. They're not sure where to look, and they're not sure how to find it. And God, I pray that you'll lead us to them. God, that you'll help us, Lord, to find them. Lord, to step out, Lord, and Lord, from beyond even these four walls. And God, go out into the city and go out into the highways, go out into the hedges and compel them. Lord, because there is a lost world that needs a risen Savior. And I ask, Lord, for your help here tonight. I ask for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Living dogs or dead lions? Life today is so much different than it was 2,000 years ago. Today, dogs hold a prominent place in a lot of people's lives. I can't make this personal because they don't hold a special place in our life. We've had two of them, and both of them have been kicked out of the house. We won't have another dog. But to a lot of people, their dog has a place of prominence in their lives. They're cute as a puppy. They do grow up. We call them man's best friend. There are some that are treated better than humans. Anyone got a dog like that? They may not want to raise your hand. I'm just kidding. They're treated better than humans. They really, to think about it, they have a perfect life. Eat, sleep, and get their back scratched. I mean, come on. What a life. I grabbed some quotes of some people concerning dogs, and one's in Charles Schwartz. How many know Charles Schwartz? You know, Peanuts the comic? He said, happiness is a warm puppy. An author who is not known said the reason a dog has so many friends is that he wags his tail instead of his tongue. That's scary. If a dog, this was Woodrow Wilson. Now, I've heard kind of in a different vein than this, but if a dog will not come to you after having looked you in the face, you should go home and examine your conscience. That's what Woodrow Wilson said. I often said a dog is a good judge of character. I liked that statement until Bernice's dog bit me in the leg. Twice. Crazy thing. Don't worry, I'll never let you live that down. She was. I as long as I was looking at her, she was fine. I turned my back and back to my leg got bit. I turned back around and she just looked at me like. I turned and walked in, bam, got me again in the back of the leg. Finally, Bernice said, get in the house. He might have gave her a kick or something. No, I don't know. Another author said one reason a dog can be such a comfort when you're feeling blue is because he doesn't try to find out why. There are hundreds of quotes. There are hundreds of quotes about dogs and our relationship with them. But that wasn't the way it was. 2,000 years ago, dogs were not looked at with the same affection as we view them today. They were actually viewed kind of in contempt. They were viewed as a necessity. They were tolerated, but weren't loved. Dogs in Palestine were more wild than they were tame. They often banded together in packs, and they lived off of the refuge and the food supplies of a village. They were sort of known as scavengers. If I know anything about a dog, they will eat just about anything. You want me to get really gross? I will anyway. I had a dog. You might want to grab the bag now. I had a dog. Her name was Peaches. And really loved that dog. I had it as a puppy. And she had one little hang up. She liked to get her meal from the kitty litter. Dogs will eat just about anything. Sister Schaefer's done now. It's over. The rest of the message is through right now. That's why when the prophet prophesied about Jezebel, he said the dogs are going to lick her blood. They didn't really care what they ate. They were scavengers. They lived off of refuse. They lived off the food supplies of the village. Some dogs were useful. They were watchdogs or guardians of sheep, but even they were not altogether reliable. How many know this? That the Apostle Paul was the first to hang a beware of dog sign. I just found this. He was the first to hang a beware of dog sign. This is what he said in Philippians 2 or 3 verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. And I want to read to you the list of people who are shut out of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible says it like this in Revelations 22:15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever maketh or loveth and maketh a lie. Whoever said all dogs go to heaven has never read the Bible. The Bible says, for without are dogs. Now I got to thinking about this. I got to looking at this. What in the world did a dog do to deserve such company? Notice it's the only animal listed. It says, for without are dogs. And then it goes to mention sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and liars. What lousy company for the dog to be placed in. That just shows you, I'm trying to paint the picture of what a dog was viewed like 2,000 years ago. It was Isaiah who used the dog when he wrote this in Isaiah 56 verse 10. His watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They all are dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. Did you know it was David? I don't even know, I'm off my nose because I found this too. David, while Saul was chasing him, said, why in the world are you chasing me? I'm nothing more than a dead dog. He says, why would you chase a dead dog? And watch what he relates it to, or a flea. That's what David referred himself to. It shows you the depths of despair that David had fallen to. He thought, it is over. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. It's worthless. It's empty. But the lion, on the other hand, has had the same status for the last 2,000 years. It has always been, and it will always be, the king of the beast. It is feared. It is reverenced. Even a caged lion strikes awe in anyone who looks at it. To hear them roar is magnificent and even intimidating. Lions have a status in life. The lion was the most awesome and dangerous wild beast in Palestine. It was the largest and the grandest of cats. The lion is filled with power. A swat of his paw, just a swat of his paw, will kill someone. His massive body forces him to rely on his strength instead of speed for his hunting. A lion looks and sounds so imposing that he symbolizes royalty and courage. The highest compliment which biblical writers could give was to indicate that a person had the face or the heart of a lion. The most common term that is used for a lion means the strong one. And it was the tribe of Judah who used the lion as the symbol for their tribe. We know that Jesus is called the lion of the tribe of Judah. But it is in the book of Proverbs that I want to use as our launching pad today. Because it was the writer of the book of Proverbs, Solomon, who makes a profound statement that I don't know if he fully understood even what he was saying. Because what he says has such spiritual implications that he would not have known or seen. He was probably just making a statement based upon what he could physically see. But the Spirit of God that was inspiring him had something else in mind. He says this in Ecclesiastes 9 and 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You thought I just pulled that out of nowhere, didn't you? For a living dog is better than a dead lion. When I was reading this, something struck me. Yes, this seems to be referring simply to life and death. Obviously, Solomon is writing and using a weak animal, an animal that is looked down upon as a dog, and comparing it to a lion. And he says a living dog is better than a dead lion. He is saying it is better to be alive than it is to be dead, even if you don't have status in this life. It is better to be a living dog than a dead lion. But there is something greater to this passage than just the simple life and death. And it's here I want to focus tonight. In the scripture, we find that there are two lions that are mentioned. Can I say one is living and strong? The Bible says this about him. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble. From the west, the Bible says the Lord is a roaring lion, that when he begins to roar, the children of the earth begin to shake and they begin to tremble. Revelations 5 and 5 says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the lion of the tribe of Judah. Let me tell you something, he doesn't just roar like a lion, he is the lion. He doesn't just make the sound or have the appearance of a lion, but this God Almighty is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the lion of the church. But yet the Bible also has another lion that is referred to. Can I say that this lion is death? And this lion is weak. It is in 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you, there's a difference between the living lion and the dead lion. Notice, the Bible gives Satan one term, and just as a roaring lion. He ain't the real deal. He's just an imposter. But the Bible says Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He not only makes the sound, but he is the lion. The one just pretends, the other is it. But it says he's seeking whom he may devour. That means he has to find just the right prey. He has to find the weak and the small. He has to find those who are not strong enough to fight. It's a far cry from the description Hosea gave. When the Lord roars, everybody trembles. When Satan roars, he only has to find the weak. Let me tell you, if you're strong in the Lord, the Satan can roar his biggest roar, and you can look right back at him and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can stare him in the eye, say, see you later. All right, I'm going to get somewhere. But what we see here is when a nation turns their heart from God, when a nation turns their heart from God, they become as dead lions. It doesn't matter how powerful they become. It doesn't matter how mighty they are. They are no better than a dead lion. All the strength is wasted. All of the power is gone. They look like a lion. They appear like a lion, but they no longer have the strength of the lion. Instead of terror or instead of fright, the thought is this: look what they used to be. Look what they used to have. Oh, that's not a live lion. That's just a dead one. Oh, he used to be strong. He used to have power. He used to have might, but he's nothing anymore. They're nothing more than a dead lion. That is exactly what Paul was saying when he said in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Watch. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. In other words, they look like a lion. They appear like a lion. They have the form of the lion, but they're dead. They're dried up, and they're plucked up by the roots. The power is gone. It was the same thought that the prophet Isaiah spoke to when he says this: "Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt." Where was it that David dwelt? The city of Zion, Jerusalem. "Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel." The word Ariel means lion of God. He says, "Woe to the lion of God." He was telling them, your city, which once roared like a lion, the city that was a face of a lion, your strength like the strength of a lion. And then he says, "I am your lion." But there's one problem. You're nothing more than a dead lion. The problem is, you have the appearance of a lion. You look like a lion, but you're dead. How many have ever been to Cabela's in West Virginia? My boys got to go there one time. They have stuffed everything. Every kind of animal you can think of. They have all these different animals that are just stuffed. And let me tell you, a stuffed lion doesn't have quite the same zest that the one that's staring at you with his beady eyes saying, "If I could get through this cage, you would be my lunch." And here the prophet is telling them, you guys are nothing but a dead lion. Your strength is gone. You followed after other gods. You've chased after other things. You've turned your back on me. Your destruction is coming. Your ruin is coming because you've become nothing more than a dead lion. And so it was that Jesus was born into the dead lion. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was despised and rejected of men. He was ridiculed, he was mocked, and he was made fun of. He wanted to revive the dead lion, but the lion stayed dead. He wanted Jerusalem to rise again, the once mighty nation of Jerusalem, the once powerful land of Judah, the once powerful mighty nation that David stood as king and ruled the world. It was nothing more than a dead lion now. He wanted them to rise again, but instead it was ruined. That is why Jesus wept over the city. The nation he loved, the once proud, strong lion, was now nothing more than a lifeless corpse. And so it is here that out of Canaan, out of Tyre and Sidon, came a lady. She was referred to by the dead lion as nothing more than a dog. She was referred to by the dead lion as a dog. She was despised. She was looked down upon. She was largely ignored. But this living dog, everybody say this living dog, made so much noise that the disciples told Jesus to send her away. But Jesus didn't send her away. Why? Because a living dog is better than a dead lion. Jesus, when the disciples said, send her away, Jesus said, no. Why? Because a living dog is better than a dead lion. Those who have the power and the form of God, those that look like a Christian and act like a, who put on the front and wear the fancy clothes and look as though everything's okay, but on the inside they're dead and dried up. And if we're not careful, we can become in danger as dead lions to look at the world. Who the Jews would call nothing but dogs, but yet they're living dogs who say, I'm looking for a savior, I'm looking for a helper, I'm looking for someone. Matthew 15:22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I know I'm not supposed to be here. I know I don't deserve it. I know everybody else wants to look down upon me and they want to send me away and they want to get rid of me. But Jesus, will you help me? And here are those, the dead lion. Missing the Messiah. While the living dogs were pursuing him and chasing him and trying to get to him. And he answered and said, is it not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. What she came for that day, she got. While those who had the opportunity, who had him standing before them, who, if you know the Jewish story and you know what took place, they had first rights to the Messiah. And while they rejected him, and while they, who were powerful, who were mighty, who had the royal bloodline, were nothing more than a form, and they missed the Messiah. Here was one who wasn't worthy. Here was one who didn't deserve it. Here was one who most people would have written off. But a living dog is better than a dead lion. As I thought about this, began to stir in me. I'm getting ready to close. That we better be careful that we who have the power, we who have the strength, we who have the name, don't become so high and mighty that we simply become dead lions, having a form of godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, I'm not saying to be like the dog that returns back to his vomit. I can throw that back in there. That's the Bible says that, actually. I'm not trying to gross you out.
I know.
I don't want to become like a dog that is returning back to my old lifestyle. What am I saying? I want to be alive in him. I want to be alive in him. I want his power to be resonating through my life. Not just having a form. I don't want someone to have a stuffed figure of a lion. Yep, there's our pastor. No. I want to be alive. I want to carry the power. I want to carry the fire. And I don't want to look down upon those who are pursuing God, who most of society would say they're not worthy of it. Most of society would say, no, they don't deserve it. Most of society would want to write them off or cast them off. The church needs to be opening their doors just like Jesus did and say, you know what? A living dog is better than a dead lion. Somebody pursuing Jesus who doesn't know him is better than someone who proclaims to have him, but is only holding the form of him. Let's all stand. We must be careful that it doesn't just become a tradition of what we do. That this is just what we do. That this is just what we do. There has to be a fresh desire. Because the last thing I want to do is become a dead lion. The last thing I want to do is have the symbol of a lion, the sign of a lion, the form of a lion, the power of a lion, the anointing of a lion, the spirit of a lion, and have it being wasted away as I'm lifeless. Jesus, God, I need your help. God, I know, Lord, this church has a desire. Lord, we want to love you. We want to serve you. We want to do a work for you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us. God, that you would stir us. God, that something fresh would be born in us today. God, that you would revive us. God, that there would be a fresh igniting of a love for you, a fresh igniting of a zeal and fervor and desire to serve you. God, don't let us. Don't let us, Lord, become so high and mighty that we lose, Lord, the moving of your spirit. God, that we become so cold and callous that your conviction no longer stirs us. God, that we remain sensitive to your leading and sensitive to your bidding. And sensitive, Lord, to what you're desiring. Jesus, help us. I wonder if someone in here tonight, if maybe all of us, maybe could come and maybe find a place and just say, God, I want you to see or search my heart. God, if I've become cold, if I've become calloused, if I've just become complacent in you, Jesus, stir me. Rekindle that fire. Rekindle that desire. God, rekindle that love for you. I wonder, can we come here tonight?
Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites his chosen people, come and dine with his manna. He doth feed and supplieth every oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table.